You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoffer coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up a little bit later on, 12:35 today. Our broadcast will start. The Brewers hosting the Pirates, going to be a matchup of the pitchers.
Mizorowski versus Skeens.
There you go. You can listen to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in beautiful Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. We did get your texts about Hayward,
yes.
And engineering is aware of it. They're working on it, so we appreciate your patience. But the crew hosting the Pirates today coming up at 12:35. Wanted to starts this hour with a little bit of this. Robert Kennedy Jr. appearing yesterday before a House hearing. Democratic lawmakers repeatedly asked Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. in the hearing about his actions in the Trump administration so far, including what they call a lack of transparency. No.
What?
Around major decisions. Representative Frank Pallone, a Democrat from New Jersey, told Kennedy he has promoted unfounded and unscientific theories without providing data or evidence. Pallone said, science is not on your side.
No, it never has been. That's what we were getting.
Pallone asked Kennedy if he would keep Congress informed of his decisions and answer questions from members of Congress. And Kennedy said, yeah, I will. Oops, Pallone said Kennedy had so far not responded to 10 letters from him. But we're all about transparency. We'll get right on it. We'll get right on it sometime.
Yeah.
Kennedy said that his department has gotten an unprecedented number of letters from Congress, so he's not going to give you a date. He can't give a date.
It's almost like, Jane, that the Congress is concerned.
They're very concerned.
Worried about the fact that the guy who's in charge of our Health and Human Services Department doesn't. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He doesn't even say, you know what I'm going to do? In the absence of my experience and education on these matters, which should put you out of the job immediately, I'm going to surround myself with the biggest, brightest, most smart people in the world, and we will have solutions for you. No, it's just... It is once again, the obstinance. And then if you ever watch these congressional hearings, he is so just not rude. He's not rude. He's annoyed by the questioning. Mm-hmm. His eyes tell everything. Mm-hmm. And he does not care that he doesn't have an answer.
Well, I think a lot of them feel like they shouldn't have to be there.
Well, exactly. Why
are you questioning me?
And something we don't talk about also is that he is a Kennedy. Kennedys have a very long legacy in this country of not being questioned, of not being held accountability, of not being responsible for their actions that have had detrimental effects to individuals, families, and the country. So, yeah, I think he's just sitting there going, but I'm a Kennedy.
Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who my dad was?
We wanted to play a little bit of an exchange between Robert Kennedy Jr. and Representative Schreier.
Mm-hmm.
She was asking him about reports that he's not exactly being forthcoming about everything.
No.
And what he knows and what he does not know. Let's not forget, Robert Kennedy Jr. has essentially said, don't take medical advice from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, he said it to Mark Pocan.
Yeah. Let's play clip number two, Calvin, from Representative Schreier and her exchange with Robert Kennedy Jr. yesterday, please.
Secretary Kennedy, yes or no, have you ever treated pertussis or whooping cough?
No, I've had it.
Well, I have. And in infants, in fact, the one I treated, weeks old, came in because the baby just stopped breathing and turned blue. But you know what's great? There's a vaccine that prevents this.
Yeah.
I know Senator Cassidy had concerns about your views on this. And so when he voted to confirm you as Secretary of HHS on February 4th, He explained that decision by saying on the Senate floor that, quote, if confirmed, you will maintain the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices without changes. Mr. Secretary, question for you. Did you lie to Senator Cassidy when you told him you would not change this panel of experts?
Oops.
I never made that agreement.
So are you saying that Senator Cassidy lied when he was on the Senate floor, lied to the American people?
I didn't see that statement by Senator Cassidy. I've only heard it from you. But if he said that I agreed to it, it would be inaccurate.
We believe Senator Cassidy more than we trust you when it comes to vaccinations. It sounds to me like you gave him the answer he needed to hear in order to get his confirmation vote. And then as soon as you were secretary, you turned around and did whatever you want.
Pretty
much. Fired all 17 members.
Yeah.
And I want to say something really quick about that clip. That clip is nearly 3 minutes long. I had to do some extensive editing in there because it's just too much.
Right.
I will be putting that entire, just the entire clip at least, not the entire exchange, but the entire clip in our show notes so you can see everything. I took out some of the, she gets a little graphic with some of the details of how children suffer, but it is an amazing exchange because she is forthright, she is earnest, and she is trying to get answers. And this man, as you put it, it's just, look away, dog ate my homework. I don't know, whatever. I didn't lie. I didn't do it.
Well, and boy, that is their go-to answer is, I didn't see that statement.
Mm-mm.
I didn't see that statement. I didn't see that report. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see the tweet. Yeah, I live in a bubble. I just don't see anything.
Yeah, yeah. And it's once again that thing of, this is a waste of my time. How dare you even talk to me about this? I have better things to do, like going on podcasts.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, we're talking about Robert Kennedy Jr. testifying yesterday before a House committee. That didn't really go so well. One thing he would really, really like for folks to do is get a smartwatch.
Boom, I got one.
You got one.
Mm-hmm.
You are a good human. You are a Maha.
Well, I'm done with that watch. Anybody want this watch? Chick Calvin, you want this watch? You can have it.
Robert Kennedy Jr. is all about smartwatches and wearables, as he calls them. Calvin, can we play that clip from Robert Kennedy Jr., please?
We're about to launch one of the biggest advertising campaigns in HHS history to encourage Americans to use wearables. It's a way of people can take control over their own health. They can take responsibility. They can see, as you know, what food is doing to their glucose levels, their heart rates, and a number of other metrics as they eat it. And they can begin to make good judgments about their diet, about their physical activity, about the way that they live their lives.
Okay.
And it really has a miraculous impact on health in our
That's
country.
Good.
And, you know, it's $80 a month. And, you know, we're exploring ways of making sure that that those costs can be paid for. It's you know, the Ozempic is costing $1,300 a month.
Right.
If you can achieve the same thing with an $80 wearable, it's a lot better for the American people.
Well, first of all, I want to say I think wearables are fine.
Yeah.
If that's your thing.
I'm wearing a wearable right now.
You are wearing a wearable and you want to keep your heart rate, and it does all kinds of biometric magical things.
I mean, right now my watch is grossly underused. I do it to monitor my heartbeat because that's important to me. It tells me wearables are not expert levels on your sleep. It will tell you if you slept well or not. I take that with a grain of salt. As you know, I'm more deeply into my sleep, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But it also, you know, tracks my steps, and it tells time. Did you know it tells time, Jane?
A watch that tells time? That's
what?
So groundbreaking.
But
so again, I think wearables are fine. If that's your thing, that's great. I think that's great. I don't know how you can mandate something like this, especially when we go back to then First Lady Michelle Obama trying to get healthier food into our schools and the screeching that came from the right about, I have a right to feed my kids nothing but Oreos. Who are you to tell me?
Yeah. I don't know if he wants to mandate them, but I will say that I want to know how much money that's going. First of all, I'm being a petty boy. I don't think there is an advertisement campaign happening. I think he said that in the moment to try to sound cool and sound like he's actually doing something. Also, let's say it's not mandated. I don't think it will be mandated. I think it will be highly encouraged. And if there is a program out there. So what are you saying now? Are you saying the states or the federal government will subsidize this $80 a month, give you partial reimbursement, tax credit? What's the plan there? Because that just sounds like more spending. 350 million people take half of that. That's 175 million people. If they're all wearing watches and they're all in this program, that is a lot of money right there. And also, and I take a lot of issue at what he said at the very end. Ozempic can be a great thing. I think some people take Ozempic in the place of eating better and exercising.
Right.
Ozempic, along with a balanced diet and exercise, can do a lot of good for you. A wearable can be a part of that. You don't do a wearable versus Ozempic. If I have a glucose reader on my wrist, that's not just going to be the reason why I lose weight. It's going to be because maybe I am taking Ozempic. I am exercising. It's not one versus the other. Don't demonize Ozempic. Just say it'll be part of someone's health journey.
It is a piece of the puzzle.
Exactly.
It is just a piece of the puzzle. And what I wonder is if this is going to be there, we don't need vaccines. We don't need anything. Mm-hmm. We don't need any preventative health care. You've got your watch. Mm-hmm. You've got your wearable. That's all you need to help you live a healthy life. And get your wearable and you're on your own.
It'll be a Trump wearable. The Trump watch.
That's another question.
Who's making
this? I would
this?
Love to look at who is investing in these wearables and what connections they have between members of Congress. I think that would be very interesting.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, I don't know. That is, well, could I go back to my original statement? I don't think there's a program. I don't think there's anything at all. Because wearables is something that has never been discussed by anyone in the, I've never heard anyone before Robert Kennedy Jr. saying, you know, it's really great wearables. I mean,
this will fix everything.
They all wear smartwatches because it's the cool thing to do. You got to buy an Apple Watch because you have an iPhone and blah, blah, blah. But I think if you really want to make a watch or a Fitbit, whatever that thing is, a part of your health journey, there
That's
is a
great.
Place for it. And there are ways. And the Health and Human Services Department should work on getting a program on their website to talk about the integration of technologies into your health journey, along with maybe medications if you need it. Talk to a doctor.
Yeah, an actual doctor who, like, gives medical advice that went to medical school.
But not some, like, oh, we're going to put a lot of money into an advertisement campaign. What? Okay. How does that make us healthy again? I know there are options, but that's nothing. That's nothing. That means nothing to me.
855-752-4842. Calvin, how are you feeling about wearables? Is this something that you would... do you have a... You don't wear a watch, do you?
No, I don't. I find the idea kind of silly, to be completely honest with you.
A watch?
No, the wearable. I didn't know. I don't think a standard one can track your glucose. I think that would be a pretty advanced one. Mm-hmm.
I don't have an option that's an online.
That's an interesting question. We'll look that up during the break. If you would like to join us, how are you feeling about a wearable? 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball coming up around 12:35 today. Crew hosting the Pirates, the Battle of the Pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a good game.
Yeah, it's two of the. It's actually the two best pitchers in the league.
In the league?
Yep.
Pretty good. Absolutely. Pretty good. Crew hosting the Pirates, 12:35. Listen to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine, Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls near Butternut.
Butternut.
And WBZH. They have Lumberjacks next month.
Really? We should do more about Hayward. That.
We should maybe go.
I think it's a great idea.
I do.
We should take a friend, too.
We should maybe, yeah, we'll take some shows on the road. We'll talk about that. Brewers hosting the Pirates today at 12:35. Before we went to the break, we were talking about Robert Kennedy Jr. testifying to a House committee yesterday, and he wants every American to use, like, a wearable watch so we can keep track of our health. And I don't think that's a bad idea if people want to do that.
I think
having
the choice to do it, I think that's great. They're ubiquitous. A lot of people have
a lot of people do that, but he's saying, you know, how bad can it be? $80 a month.
Yeah, and if I mean to me that's code. Whenever a rich person or a really powerful person or both, it's not mutually exclusive, says something like that, like $80, and kind of just tosses it away, that's a rich person talking. $80 a month comes out to $960 a year. That is roughly, you know, that is, that may be a one mortgage payment for someone or half of their mortgage payment.
Oh, yeah.
And because I am who I am, that's petty. I looked it up. I was very conservative with the number, 350 million people. I have that. That's 175 million. I said, all right, I'll just say if 70 million people, and I think that's a lot too, but I would say
agree.
70 million people took part in a program where you got your $80 a month subsidized by the government, because he says we want to find a way to pay for this. That would be $67.2 billion a year just for that one program.
Whoa.
So, again, this, I don't think, and that just seems like, I don't know, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Wasteful spending.
Well, if we get rid of all of the other health services the U.S. government offers, maybe we can just do wearables.
Yeah.
And that's all we need.
And I also looked it up because we talked about it at the very end of the last segment, and Calvin brought something up as well. There is no FDA-approved smartwatch that can monitor your glucose.
You have to do a finger stick.
You have to do a finger prick, or as it says, an invasive program. Calvin brought up an article. Calvin, you found something online about a. I know actually some of my friends have this item on them because they suffer from diabetes and they need to know their glucose at all times.
Yeah, this is an article from March of last year talking about the first ever over-the-counter continuous glucose monitor, and it's still like it's primarily targeted for diabetics. It's still something that has to be inserted into your skin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
So if that's what Robert F. Kennedy means, he wants everyone walking around with tags connected into their skin that connect to their phones. That sounds awfully like what people thought they were doing with COVID.
you mean injecting microchips?
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing too is that do you want to have a watch that has a slight pinprick on it that jams into your wrist? I mean, I'm not being funny here. I'm being totally serious. This goes back to the notion. I don't think there's a program. I don't think this is anything he's truly thought about. Because once they say, I have a lot of friends, I stop listening. If you really want to put together, one of the things that the Health and Human Services program does in conjunction with states, lawmakers, religious and community leaders are looking at options on how to bring health to communities. And you can do that and come up with a program that involves wearables. Maybe it is a tax credit for wearables. I don't know, but like there's other ways of doing this where you introduce a health journey into someone's life and give them the information needed, not just say, here's a watch, wear it.
And good luck.
That's dumb.
And Megan on the live stream says, my question is, where are their wearables for $80?
On Amazon, don't buy them. They have very low star ratings. I researched my wearable for 4 months before I finally bought it because I wanted to make sure it wasn't what Megan was talking about.
I didn't realize that there were, because that's not something I would do. I didn't realize there were that many options.
There's like $35 ones. Like I guarantee.
What does a $35 smartwatch do?
It's a dumb
tells
watch.
Tells the time.
It's a dumb watch, yeah. It's like
it's a clock.
Yeah, I and my it looks like you just bought a watch. Sir, I don't mean to call into question your intelligence, but I think you just bought a wait a minute, this just says Seiko on it.
Yeah, I think it's a watch.
Yeah. Now that we've talking about it, all of your phones, folks, will be bringing up smart watches onto your advertisements on Instagram, Facebook. You're welcome.
We apologize. Yeah. And we apologize for that. All right, we have news coming up in just a little bit. Start thinking about who you had a crush on when you were a kid.
Puppy love.
Who was your kid crush? Who did you have a crush on when you were a kid? Bobby Sherman has passed away at the age of 81. He was even hot before David Cassidy.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
I also want to bring up a teen heartthrob. Teen crush who is still very crushable in today's day and age.
I love it.
He performed at Summerfest.
All right. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the news and get ready to join us for Audio Sorbet that's coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm just going to let this play for a really long time. Whatever may think that I was number one. Hey, hey, hey. I ought to know. Easy come, easy go. Come on, baby, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and what used to be Twitter. What are you controlling?
I'm controlling my laughter because if you're listening to this on the podcast, you probably didn't hear what we're talking about. Jade was singing and dancing to Bobby Sherman. What song was that?
Easy Come, Easy Go.
Oh boy. She's flush. She's flush with teen boy love.
Absolutely. Bobby Sherman has passed away at the age of 81. So we were talking about who you had a crush on when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So he really became big in like the mid to late 60s and early 70s. And I think I became aware of him around when I was like 9 or 10. And Tiger Beat was a big magazine back then.
Yeah.
With all the photos of your pop stars. And Bobby Sherman was on my wall, baby.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in when my brain came online was the early 80s. And that was still around. You'd still see I think Tiger Beat was still around back then too. Yeah.
In the 80s? Oh, might have been.
And you know, I have a sister and she had her boy crushes and
do you remember who they were?
Well, the one I remember the most. I don't want to speak on behalf of her cuz she'll yell at me.
Sure.
Just kidding. She loved George Michael. She loved Wham.
Okay.
Wham.
Sure.
She saw Wham in like 1985.
He was adorable.
Both of them were adorable.
Yeah, they were pretty cute.
Yeah, so I remember those magazines, and I don't think Bobby Sherman was on them anymore, but we definitely had our, like, you know, Menudo.
Oh, yes.
George Michael. Ralph Macchio.
Oh, kid crushes. Who did you have a crush on when you were a kid is our audio survey question for today at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, your crush as a kid. Mine was Bobby Sherman, and he had that adorable dimple in his chin. So cute.
When my crushable feelings started coming in, mm-hmm. it was the heyday of mall performers. When these pop stars who got huge would start out in the malls.
Debbie Gibson,
Tiffany,
yes.
Kylie Minogue. They all went to malls. I think, and this is kind of what happened with boy bands too. In the very beginning of boy bands in the late 90s, is they sent them to high schools and to malls because that's where the kids were.
Sure,
they wanted the screams and yells, and the boys going, "What is this?" Ugh. And then, they'll say that out loud to their friends, but on the inside, like, songs are real good. I would say for me, yeah, Debbie Gibson and Tiffany for sure.
Were oh, like, wow.
Oh, yes, yes.
Greg's.
I think we're alone now, Tiffany. I was 11.
855-752-4842. Who did you have a crush on as a kid? This is our audio sorbet topic after we lost Bobby Sherman at the age of 81. He was a pop star. He starred on Here Come the Brides David Soul. A TV show, again, maybe 68, 69.
Here Come the Brides?
Here Come the Brides. It was only on for like 2 seasons. Be Still My Heart.
Oh my God. That sounds like a reality show now.
It was based out west, and they had to order like mail order brides. This is a long time ago.
What did you, wait, I'm sorry. Was this a scripted television show?
Yes.
Like
we didn't have reality show TV back then.
So did they run a service where they sent for brides and they're like,
I don't remember this.
Oh,
specifics.
You can't bring this up now and be like,
I just remember Bobby Sherman was really cute and he had a dimple in his chin.
American comedy
him.
Series. There we are. So here. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's the 19th century. This looks like.
Yeah, it was back in the old West.
It looks like David Soul, Bobby Sherman, mm-hmm. Robert. Yeah, this looks weird. Y'all had weird TV back in then.
What's your kid crush? At 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine texting in, listening on WAUK, my childhood celebrity crush, Julia Stiles.
Oh, yes.
Fortunately, she is still with us, I believe. Yes, she is.
She is. Yes, she is.
I also had a crush on a classmate in my last high school, but she is now world famous.
I feel like if you had a crush on Julia Stiles, you automatically had a crush on Kirsten Dunst because...
Very similar.
Those were like, you know, those actors who are like, wait a minute, is that similar. Dermot Mulroney or Dylan McDermott? I'm not sure. And just both very attractive men.
Yes.
Here Come the Brides... was on from September of 68 to April of 1970, so huge show.
Yeah, it was only a couple of years.
It was loosely based on Asa Mercer's efforts in the 1860s to import marriageable women, the Mercer girls, from the East Coast cities of the United States to Seattle, where there was a shortage. This, you love the Little House on the Prairie? Do you want it to be worse? Here Comes the Brides.
You never saw it. Don't be picking on my favorite show from when I was 8.
It lasted up a season and a half.
Two seasons.
There you go.
855-752-4842. Who was your kid crush? Who'd you have a crush on when you were a kid? Carmella from Milwaukee on WAUK. Jane and Greg, Andy Gibb. The year was 1978. I was 14 and crushed hard for Shadow Dancer. I spent my babysitting money on State Fair tickets to see him. I went with 3 others, took my Shadow Dancing album with me so I could get him to sign it. The album left behind in my friend's mom's car.
Oh.
There was a big fight amongst friends who had the Andy Gibb album. The mystery was never solved. A few years ago, my husband found it at a rummage sale. He now knows all of the words to Shadow Dancing. That's great, Carmella. I love that. 855-752-4842. Who was your kid crush? That is our discussion for Audio Sorbet. Roger from Stevens Point. My boyhood crush was on Dana Plato.
Oh, yeah.
When Different Strokes was on the air. I knew she was a little over a year older than me. It broke my heart when she passed. That's so sad.
Yeah, that was, I mean, she was, yes. Who, the little girl who, and I was, this is all above board. The little girl who played Vicky on Small Wonder, I always had a big crush on her too.
What was Small Wonder?
Small Wonder, Jane, was a show that was monumentally better than Here Comes the Brides. It was about a family who I don't think can have another child after their first child. So the father, who's a robotics engineer, they build a daughter.
As one does.
Wackiness ensues.
Who was your kid crush? This is our audio survey topic after the loss of Bobby Sherman, who has passed away at the age of 81. Ollie from the Northwoods has been very patient. Thanks for joining us, Ollie.
Hi. I remember Here Come the Bride.
Thank you.
So there.
I didn't say it didn't exist.
He's casting aspersions on our show, Ollie. That's not fair.
He didn't even see it.
I know.
Well, my favorite, I guess, is Ricky Nelson, and I also love Paul Anka songs.
Absolutely. And Paul Anka was a cutie.
He was.
And so was the other one.
Ricky Nelson.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, Ricky. He was one of the original.
He was a handsome boy.
Pop pinups, right?
Well, yeah,
Ricky Nelson was.
And of Hollywood royalty too.
Yes. So, I appreciate that, Ollie. Thank you.
Someone listening to your the guy who sent us the email about the deer, the face hit guy.
Yes.
He says he's listening right now on WAUK, Laverne and Shirley. Laverne from Laverne and Shirley. Tim from South Milwaukee. Sorry, I didn't even see that middle portion. Tim from South Milwaukee. I can read.
Laverne,
yeah.
That's
Penny Marshall is not, usually it's Cindy Williams.
Yes.
And
because she, if, yeah.
Yes.
It would normally be Cindy Williams.
Jane, we all know what you're about to say. Jack from Merrimack listening to WAUK says, my crush in my younger youth was Karen Carpenter. She, very beautiful.
Oh, she was gorgeous and so talented.
Amazing drummer. Amazing.
So talented.
Yeah. He fell in love with her voice. My vote for the finest voice of the second half of the 20th century and left us too soon.
She absolutely did.
Absolutely did, yeah.
Liz from Saukville, Rick Springfield. Oh, yes. Dr. Noah Drake on General Hospital.
And this is the person I was referring to in the last segment, which is still a teen idol, not a teen idol, but a crushable heartthrob.
You were the one who showed me that picture this morning.
Playing shirtless at a concert. I think it was Summerfest. If it wasn't Summerfest, it was recently. The man, just look it up.
He's buff.
And he is about to turn 76 years old, yeah. And I hate him. He has wearables on. That's from the last time. But yeah, Rick Springfield.
He's looking good.
His crushosity has
tripled
over the years.
Yeah,
it's just gone over
just
the years.
More and more. It's just gotten better and better. Yep. Julie from Wausau texting in. My name is Julie. So definitely Bobby Sherman. There you go. And he was a really nice guy.
Did he have a song called Julie?
Julie, do you love me? Yes.
Okay, all right.
Carol from Waukesha. While Bobby Sherman was my first concert, and I also watched Here Come the Brides, I was a big Donny Osmond fan. I'll give you that. I understand that. I can respect that.
Another one from Andrew. Another crush that has gone from my childhood through adult. Donuts. Come on, Andrew. Funny boy, you. Yeah. So, Calvin.
Oh, Jill from New Berlin's with a good one. Peter Duell from Alias Smith and Jones. This is another show you're not going to know.
Wow. You just said a whole bunch of.
It was another Western.
Alias
Smith and Jones. They were two guys out west.
You guys were just obsessed with the West back in
those
days.
We had three channels. Give me a break.
The Duke
was either
boys
that too, or Gunsmoke.
The Duke boys were cute too, Bo and Luke.
They were.
Calvin, do you guys, I mean, like, I know that it's absolutely fair that you have the crushosities, but you don't have the same, you see all this stuff online nowadays. You're not like reading Tiger Beat magazine. It's not, I don't feel like it's the same, it's not the same thing. What is your experience in the world of crushosity?
Well, I definitely have celebrity crushes growing up. I don't really have very many memories of this. I have like a few hazy memories, but my parents will tell you when I was like 4 or 5 years old, I would tell people Britney Spears was my girlfriend.
that's so adorable.
I love that.
And then I guess growing up, I mean, for all boys my age, Megan Fox in the first Transformers movie was kind of like a
beautiful woman.
It was transformative for you.
Yeah. But I guess as far as like an actual crush, Victoria Justice from Nickelodeon. She was on Zoe 101 and then she was on a show called Victorious. And she's actually going to be on Suits LA now.
Which I heard was just canceled.
Was it already?
Yeah. Not surprised. That was quick.
It's just how people take it in now, because back in the day it was on TV and magazines. That's how you found out who your crush was.
Right.
Greg on the live stream says Valerie Bertinelli,
one
day at a time. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one, Greg.
Absolutely. And yep. I would say for me too, also like the lady who played Joe on Facts of Life. I can't remember her. Nancy McKeon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Joe.
I was like, she's so pretty and she can work on motorcycles.
Sarah from Green Bay listening on WGBW. I had a crush on Edward Furlong after seeing Terminator 2. Yep.
He was a bad boy.
Matt from Richland Center. Samantha Marler in Guiding Light. Ronnie from Horicon. And my favorite was Richard Chamberlain. And yes, he did sing.
He was a rugged man, Richard Chamberlain.
Richard Chamberlain was like Doc. He was Dr. Kildare.
He was in the Thornbirds, right?
He was in the Thornbirds.
Yeah, I just thought he was like a.
He was pretty elegant.
Oh, really?
He was pretty, I would say, elegant.
Okay.
And Maureen from Nina, you get the last word. WISS. My crush was Davy Jones.
Aww.
Dave's Jones. Yep, Davy Jones. Cute, cute, cute. Bobby Sherman, thank you for the memories. Gone at the age of 81. That wraps up today's audio sorbet. We got This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up next. Don't go in the water. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Thursday. Always a busy show for us.
Oh,
Jim
yeah.
Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. He will join us after 9:35 to talk all things legal. We are not lawyers. We are lawyer adjacent on Matt and Aaron. We're many things adjacent.
Yeah, we're like...
That's why we bring in people who know what they're talking about, like Brittany Merlot.
We're doctor adjacent, meteorology adjacent.
Yes.
Some would call me fun adjacent, but you know, hey.
Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's meteorologist, will be here at 10:20 with a little weather and wine, know what's coming up for the weekend and moving forward. And then Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here tomorrow at 10:35 to talk all things sports.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll be talking about a big Brewers win after this pitcher matchup today. The game starts at 12:35. You can catch it on several of our Civic Media stations on terrestrial radio. The game will not be streaming.
Guess what, Jane? Brewers are in second place, 3.5 games behind.
You're very excited. You haven't been to a game yet.
No.
When are you going to go?
Soon. It's just now that summer's here, I don't know what that means. That means nothing. Soon.
Soon.
I'd like to, and I'd love to go with you back to another game. I'd love to hang out. Calvin should come to a game. We had a really fun time last year.
We can do that.
Cushy seats, yeah. Carpeted walkways,
bathrooms.
They have bathrooms
Bathrooms, yes. And free. Speaking of Brewers, Free Ticket Fridays is back now on Fridays. You have 5 chances to pick up a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Be listening, starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, then our show 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd from 2 to 4, Maggie 4 to 6. Each of us will have a keyword for you on Friday that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. And then you were in the running for those tickets. Free Ticket Friday is back this coming Friday. All right, Calvin, it is just about 10:55. That means it's time for... That's what it is. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This one Calvin found in the Daily Mirror, that bastion of journalistic excellence, but they do occasionally stumble across something that's legitimate. Beth Hardy with the byline. Headline reads, tourists issued urgent warning after giant 5-foot jellyfish washes up on holiday hotspot beach. There's a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to want to take a look at this picture in the show notes after the show is over.
Yeah.
Holiday makers and locals got their shock of their lives after visiting a peaceful sandy beach known for its beautiful views when they were greeted with the sight of a giant red jellyfish over the weekend. Officials in the city of South Portland, Maine. The massive jellyfish, almost 5 feet wide.
5 feet wide.
Five feet wide.
That's
really big.
That's a lot of wide.
That's a lot of fish.
That's a lot of
That's
width.
A lot of jelly.
That's a lot of jelly.
Yeah, that's a lot of jelly. The 5-foot wide jellyfish was pretty hard to miss. Yeah. They issued a social media warning advising beachgoers not to touch the fierce-looking lion's mane jellyfish because you can get a nasty sting. Mm-hmm. They did check to see if anyone could help them get it back into the water. Who's going to touch that thing?
Witnesses on the beach recorded as saying, no!
Yeah, I'm no. You go. You first.
You do it.
You first, please. You go ahead. If you see one of these jellyfish, do not touch it. They sting. Observe it. They're interesting to watch. The post also had a link to report any sightings and where you could learn more about this particular jellyfish. There have been more sightings than ever in Maine this year. They are tracking jellyfish. They've been doing this since 2014. They have a jellyfish tracker.
Jellyfishtracker.com?
Yeah, yes. Well, some of the things that are different this year, it's pretty much all of these lion's mane jellyfish. Not only are there more of them, they are noticeably larger than usual.
Mm-hmm.
The lion's mane jellyfish is the biggest in the ocean. It can grow to almost 10 feet wide.
Nature is amazing. Water is amazing. Jane, space is amazing. And I love this. And it makes me, because I assume they are water-based creatures. Jellyfish can't survive on land. They need to be in the water.
Yes.
So it's like my heart's breaking immediately for two reasons. One, I want to be back in the ocean where it belongs, so it's safe and away from us, because we'll poke it. And also, just that notion of like people looking at it and saying, you touch it. And you don't touch it at all. I would say just don't even look at it.
Don't mess with
it. Just let it be. Let's do its thing and let the experts come in and get it back in the water. I'm being serious. Jellyfish, don't mess with the jellyfish. Don't mess with any animals.
Leave them alone. That wraps up today's episode of... As we mentioned, tomorrow's Thursday, Jim Santel will be here, Brittany Merlot and Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company, so I hope you can join us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next on the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up globally on the app.
Ooh.
The Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.